Welcome to Sunrise, the radio outreach of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson, Arizona. Join us for the next half hour as we take a personal and up-close look at the Word of God with Pastor Scott Richards. Join us now as our teacher continues his study. Here's Pastor Scott.
Because God never speaks contrary to his revelation. That's why it's so important that you know all 66 books of the Bible. How important is this in terms of understanding God's revelation? Well, consider this statistic from the book of Revelation itself. The book of Revelation, here's your fun fact to know and tell, there are 403 verses in the book of Revelation. You know how many Old Testament quotations we find in the book of Revelation? 300. 300 Old Testament quotations in 403 verses. That's a pretty high percentage. If you don't understand the meaning of these verses, you're not going to understand the book of Revelation. I kind of throw up my hands in exasperation at times. When I run into people in passing, go, we never teach Revelation because it's just too confusing for people, and everybody's got a different interpretation. I go, what? Are you kidding? It's the easiest book of the Bible to interpret. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 19, Jesus gives us the outline of the book of Revelation. He says, write the things which you've seen, that is, John's vision of the glorified Jesus. Write the things which are, the letters to the seven churches, in other words, how God was going to be dealing in the time between Jesus' first and second coming. And write the things which will take place after this. Well, even in Revelation chapter 4 and verse 1, after the last letter to the last church in sequence there, we see this signpost. After these things, I heard a loud voice saying, come up here. It's like a trumpet. Man, suddenly John's in glory. You see, you follow along with these signposts, you can understand Revelation and understand something in the book of Revelation that you look at and it seems puzzling. Understand, the book of Revelation isn't the book of cover-up. It isn't the book of confusion. It's the book of revelation. It literally means an unveiling. How can you unveil the meaning of the book of Revelation? You understand the images, the quotations, the citations from what's gone before. Because every symbol that you find in the book of Revelation is either explained in the Old Testament or will be explained in the verses that surround it in the New Testament. It's not that hard to figure out if you got a working knowledge of the Bible. Ah, there's the rub. Working knowledge of the Bible. No wonder a lot of pastors are like that. You know, you talk about dangerous false doctrine. It comes from a seemingly friendly source. A very popular pastor in evangelical circles has created this dust up on the internet by saying we need to unhitch our faith from the Old Testament. As believers, that the Old Testament has nothing to say to us as believers today. That you don't go south of the Matthew Malachi line because that's just going to confuse you and get you into legalism and what. He went so far as to say in an interview, he goes, I didn't say this because I knew it was going to get me in trouble, but I was going to say you could just cross the Ten Commandments out of your Bible. This is coming from an evangelical pastor, gang. Understand something, the only way that we are going to understand what God's Word is by understanding God's Word. You want to make sure you're not the next victim of spiritual deception. Here's a verse that you should write on a 3x5 card and put up on your fridge with a vegetable magnet because it's so important. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 18. Or I should say verse 20. It says, to the law and to the testimony, if they do not speak according to this word, it's because there is no light in them. Now, you go to a meeting and some lady's doing dream interpretation, raise your hand and go, where is that in the Bible exactly? You know, where is this interpretation you're coming from? Where can I find that in Scripture, in context? Well, you're quenching the Spirit. No, I'm not. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 19 says, do not quench the Spirit. We don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. Can God speak to you in a dream? Yeah, he can. And it says, do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. It doesn't say believe everyone who comes up to you with glossy eyes and a vibrato voice saying, thus saith the Lord, I've got a word for you, brother. Oh, boy, I'll tell you, if I had a nickel for every time I've gotten that routine. How dare you question me? I'm speaking in the name of God. Yeah, it's so funny. Sometimes people will drop that card, try to play that card, because they want to have the arrangement of chairs in the sanctuary. God has told me that if we don't do the semicircle thing here, that we're going to be... What? I'll take it under advisement, but I don't think that's a thus saith the Lord, personally. Oh, you're quenching the Spirit. No. I'm just not buying into somebody who's trying to manipulate me with the God talk. And if I stand before the Lord someday, and Jesus says, you know, your ministry would have been twice as effective if you didn't have the chairs in a semicircle, I'm willing to run that risk. Because I don't see it in Scripture, right? Chapter and verse, to the law and the testimony, if they don't speak according to this word, it's because they have no light in them. Now, you've been warned. And again, in Jeremiah, we see this warning about these individuals. And notice it goes on to say, therefore, behold, verse 30, we could pick it up. And it says, therefore, behold, I'm against the prophet, says the Lord, who steal my words, everyone from his neighbor. Behold, I'm against these prophets, says the Lord, who use their tongues and says, he says, that is, that God told me this. Behold, I'm against those who prophesy false dreams, says the Lord, and tell them and cause my people to err by their lies and by their recklessness. I did not send them nor command them. Therefore, they shall not profit this people at all, says the Lord. I think it's really funny that God calls these false prophets out for stealing messages from each other. You know, they listen to what false prophet Joe from down the block was doing. Ooh, man, people are showing up because he's teaching this. I'm going to start teaching that doctrine. People seem to like this story over here, so I'm gonna rip that off. You know, it's funny. In Christian circles, I've discovered something. The only difference between good scholarship and plagiarism is a footnote, right? It's giving credit where credit is due. But there's a lot of plagiarism that goes on in Christian circles. And I'll tell you what, I'll be the first one to tell you. Like Sir Isaac Newton said, if I've seen farther than other men, it's only because I've stood on the shoulders of giants. Man, I love standing on the shoulder of giants. You know, I love, for instance, seeing what Dave Guzik on his Enduring Word commentary has to say about a passage of Scripture before I teach it. I love reading Chuck Swindoll's, you know, insightful and applicable comments on things. I love, you know, soaking in the teaching of, say, Charles Feinberg on the book of Revelation, one of the foundational professors at Talbot Seminary where I graduated. Just amazing insights that these men have. But I don't want to rip them off. If I'm going to tell you something, and it was something that these guys, I'm going to be the first one to tell you. Because it's just funny how sometimes, in order to make ourselves look better or make ourselves have a better following, people rip off each other. You know, John Corson from Applegate, Oregon. I love John. You know, and please pray for him. If there's ever anybody that has just gone through the ringer spiritually, it's been John and his family. His son, Peter John, just passed away from complications that he had, you know, as a result of Crohn's disease and a number of different other things. And, you know, he lost his daughter, he lost his wife, his other son, Ben, his wife left him, and there was a big crisis in the church. And, you know, but I've rarely run into somebody who shares God's word in such a way that's just so relatable. And he is the master of great illustrations. And it's funny, you know, I'll read through John's stuff, and John, you know, I don't agree with every take he has on Scripture, obviously, but boy, he's just got a gift for a great illustration. And you know, John was speaking at a Calvary Pastors Conference, and he was saying, you know, how, you know, it's important that we disciple each other, and it's important that we share, you know, the things that God has said. He goes, but, you know, sometimes, you know, it'd just be nice if we gave credit where credit is due. And he said that a fellow came up to him with a CD. He goes, "You got to hear the CD from this pastor that I sat under. You know, I was listening to him teach, and it just reminded me of you, John." And John said he listened to the CD, and it was word for word what John had taught on this passage. And John said that he didn't mind that. You know, obviously, he doesn't copyright, you know, what the Spirit of God is doing through his ministry, and if that can bless other people, that's great. But where he drew the line was this pastor actually used personal illustrations from John's life and tried to pass them off as his own. That's where you get into ripoffville. You know, God wants to use us all uniquely and individually. And if my experience with the true and living God has become so dry and so dull and so boring, I've got a slipstream on somebody else's miracles in their life. Maybe I need to get things back right with the Lord. But that same thing was going on. They were ripping each other off. And in verse 33, we read, "So when these people or the prophet or the priest asked you, saying, 'What is the oracle of the Lord?' you shall say to them, 'What oracle? I will even forsake you,' says the Lord. As for the prophet and the priest and the people who say, 'The oracle of the Lord,' I will punish that man and his house. Thus every one of you shall say to his neighbor and everyone to his brother, 'What has the Lord answered and what has the Lord spoken?' And the oracle of the Lord you shall mention no more. For every man's word will be his oracle. For you've perverted the words of the living God, the Lord of hosts, our God. Thus you shall say to the prophet, 'What has the Lord answered you? And what has the Lord spoken?' But since you say, 'The oracle of the Lord,' therefore thus saith the Lord, because you say this, 'The oracle of the Lord,' and I've sent to you saying, 'Do not say the oracle of the Lord,' therefore, behold, I, even I, will utterly forget you and forsake you. And the city that I've given you and your fathers, I will cast you out of my presence, and I will bring an everlasting reproach upon you and a perpetual shame which shall not be forgotten." Now, notice all this stuff about the oracle of the Lord, and don't say the oracle of the Lord. Well, there's a play on words here in Hebrew that's really easy for us to miss in English. Let me see if I can explain it to you as succinctly as I can. The word oracle is the Hebrew word masa. It is built upon a root word, nasa, that means to lift up a heavy weight. You know, it's the idea of bearing up a heavy weight and lifting it up. And because of that, it came to be used as a message from God because two things. First of all, an individual that is going to share God's message lifts up the already existing message of God. That's what they're supposed to do. Make God's word as plain and visible as they possibly can. The other side of it, though, is that's a heavy-duty calling. You don't want to mess up the message of God, right? You don't want to edit it. You don't want to slice and dice and make coleslaw out of it. You don't want to fold, spindle, and mutilate it so it already conforms to your already preconceived notions and prejudices. You're going to want to just share the oracle of God. Well, when they say, "This oracle of the Lord you shall mention no more, for every man's word will be his oracle, you've perverted the words of the Lord of hosts," it's a play on words, in a sense, in that what they were saying is, you know, hey, Jeremiah, you know, your words are really heavy, and let's face it, he's already said God's word's going to be like a sledgehammer. It's going to smash you guys to pieces. It's going to be this judgment thing. Oh, Jeremiah, you and your heavy-duty words. What else you got to say to us today? You know what Jeremiah would say to him? I got nothing to say to you. Why? Because God had nothing to say to him. Because understand this. God's word, properly shared, speaks for itself. That's what we teach. Book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse, through the entire Word of God. Yeah, I remember one time, Pastor Chuck's right-hand man, Pastor Romain, said to me something I'll never forget. If you come up with something better to share with people than God's Word, then share it. Until then, stick to the Bible. You know, we just need to be found faithful, not look for results. These false teachers were looking for something they could lift up so that people would follow them. What Jeremiah is saying is, no, man, you don't understand why an oracle is a heavy thing. It's not that God doesn't want to share. But if you're going to stand before people and say, "Thus saith the Lord," you better be awfully sure of what you're talking about. You know why? I'm sure. I fear God. I fear God. And some people just don't. And I'll wrap up with this. When I was in Southern California going to seminary in 1984, the Summer Olympics were there in Los Angeles. And I worked as a security guard there, and I was working as a youth pastor. And during that time, a couple became incredibly prominent in Christian media during that time. They got on this Christian talk show that was hosted by a host named Rich Bueller, and they shared that God had given them a message that there was going to be a huge earthquake in Los Angeles during the 1984 Olympics. And in order to effectively minister during this time of crisis, believers needed to stockpile, you know, food and water and generators and so forth so they could reach out to their neighbors and be a blessing to them when this prophesied earthquake was going to happen. And the closer the 84 Olympics came, the more they were upping the ante with lurid descriptions of what was going to go on and how awful and horrible it was going to be, but God was going to use it all for the good and all this stuff. And lo and behold, the 84 Olympics came and went. And even though, you know, I'm speaking of someone who grew up in Southern California, and people like Dot can bear me witness on this, predicting an earthquake in Southern California is like predicting a hot summer in Tucson. You don't necessarily have to be a prophet to be able to do that, right? But lo and behold, not even a smidgen of an earthquake, right? So this couple's brought back on Rich Bueller's talk show, and he said, what happened? Oh, guess what? God's people prayed so much, he decided to forestall the disaster. After they sold all these people their books and got their kickbacks from people with their dry goods and their you know, how do you not fall into that trap? You fear God. You fear God. When I was on staff at Costa Mesa, I was the pastor of the day. I was taking calls out front, and Chuck Smith came out of his office, and he was kind of laughing. He goes, I want to show you this. And I said, what is it? And he handed me this letter. It was like one of those underlined in blue, computerized, personalized letters you've seen before. You know what I'm talking about. And it was addressed to Calvary Chapel, and it had the address outside. And it was from this TV evangelist. And it said, Dear Mr. Chapel, and I went, oh, garbage in, garbage out. You know, the computer glitched. But it went on. It said, Dear Mr. Chapel, Calvary, God laid you on my heart during my prayer time. And I want you to know how I agonized in prayer for you for hours, Mr. Chapel. And Calvary, I know that God is going to bring a great breakthrough in your life and lift your burdens. And in light of this intercessory prayer ministry that I personally invested in you, Mr. Chapel, could you see fit to send us a donation for our ministry? And I looked at him and I went, this is really sick. And I looked at Chuck and I said, what did you do? And he goes, oh, I wrote him back. And I said, what did you say? And he said, Dear so-and-so, and he'd met the guy before, because dear so-and-so, the only difference between you and me is I fear God. One day, false prophets and false teachers are going to give an account before God. One day, true prophets and true teachers are going to give an account before God. And I'll tell you what, I'm chicken. I'll confess that to you. If I stand before God someday and Jesus looks at me and goes, why did you teach through the Bible chapter by chapter, book by book, and verse by verse? Come on, you should have used all these lights and buzzers and all these different things, you know, the latest and greatest and the trendy stuff because the end justifies. If Jesus says that to me, I'll go, Lord, guilty as charged. I just thought it was more important to tell people your word. I'll run that risk on judgment day. Because remember what Jesus said about those who are going to stand before him someday. Those who get it right, he's going to say, well done. What? Good and? I didn't hear that. Good and? Faithful servant. Not effective, not fruitful. Hopefully fruitful and faithful are going to be the same thing. But if we focus on faithfulness, gang, fruitfulness takes care of itself. You focus on fruitfulness, you're never going to find faithfulness. And anybody that tries to sell you on this stuff, remember the famous line from The Princess Bride, Wesley saying to Buttercup, "Life is pain, princess. Anybody who tells you different is selling something." Anyone who tells you that God just wants you happy and healthy and wealthy, they're selling something. Because that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says all who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Jesus said, "In this world you will have tribulation, but fear not, for I've overcome the world." Anybody who comes to you and says, "I got the get out of jail free card from that," is a spiritual wolf. You've been warned. Stay in the book. Stand on the word, gang. And you're not going to be the next victim. Lord, thanks so much. And your word has so much to say to us in these times when doctrinal errors from the subtle to the bizarre seem to parade about us every day, all day, 24/7. But I thank you, Lord, for what you said in John chapter 10, that your sheep hear your voice, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow, for they don't recognize the voice of strangers. Thank you, Lord, that you said you are the good shepherd, and you know your sheep, and your sheep know you. How I pray that, like Jeremiah, we would find the heaviness, the seriousness of standing for your word, but also the blessedness of knowing that even though standing for your word might not be popular and it might not be the most effective thing possible, it's the right thing. And it's the eternal thing. It's the thing that we're going to look at someday and say, "Thank you, Lord. Thank you that we just kept it simple and focused on what really matters. And we let the results take care of themselves. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being our good shepherd. In Jesus' name, amen."
Scott Richards of Calvary Christian Fellowship of Tucson. Be sure to join us again at this same time as we continue our journey through the entire Bible here on Sunrise. We'd also like to extend an invitation for you to join us for worship and the study of God's Word. Calvary Christian Fellowship is located on the northwest side of Tucson. Just go one block west of Interstate 10 on Prince Road and then two blocks north. Service times are 9 and 11 a.m. on Sundays. Our midweek Oasis service gets underway every Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. Our video extension campus meets in Oro Valley every Sunday at 9:30 a.m. at the Lehman Academy. To join us, go one block north of Tangerine on La Cañada Road. To personally connect with us or to order an audio copy of what you heard on today's broadcast, visit our website at calvarychristianfellowship.com. That's calvarychristianfellowship.com. If you have questions concerning Calvary Christian Fellowship, the Bible, prophecy, or personal issues in your walk with God, be sure to join Pastor Scott live on this station for A Reason for Hope every Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. Mountain Standard Time. Well, thanks again for joining us, and be sure to be listening at the same time for more of Sunrise with Scott Richards.
Glorify.